The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And I just need to know this because we love pets, okay? We love our pets.
Sure.
Pets in heaven.
Coming up, James and Betty sit down with best-selling author of The Case for Heaven, Lee Strobel.
I had this giant dog when I was a kid. I mean, when I was in high school, he would put his paws on my shoulders and look me in the eyes. I mean, he was awesome. I love this dog. Am I going to be reunited with Nikki in heaven?
Next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I've got a big grin on my face. I'm James Robinson. By the way, I grin quite often. I weep a lot, too. You know that. Betty and I are just thrilled to have Lee Strobel here with us. And we love him so much, he's going to stay all week. And he's written that book. Now, you know, he gets something on his mind, like he wanted to prove that Jesus wasn't real. So he went out to prove to his wife and everybody else that Christ, you know, they're believing a lie. Very skeptical. But then he wrote The Case for Christ because he said it's irrefutable. Well, now then, and he's written a whole lot about the case. He seemed like if you got an issue, a challenge, or just get ready, he'll have a case study for it, and he'll give you the reason, A Case for Heaven. And in here, he answers the questions that people are asking. And I just need to know this because, you know, all of us, you know, intelligent, wise, sensitive people, we love pets, okay? We love our pets.
Sure.
You know, it's easier to love pets than people. Have you ever noticed that? And they do love unconditionally. Well, the question, one of them, will there be pets in heaven? And don't get ready to throw something at the TV. Let's find out what he says. Just keep cool. Lee Strobel, welcome back.
Thank you.
Life Today.
Great to be with you.
Yeah, are you troubled by the pressure that can be put on you to try to answer that question and live to tell the story again?
Well, see, the joy of what I do is I'm a journalist, so I just seek out really smart people with credentials and a bunch of letters after their name, and I ask them the tough questions I've got, and then I'm kind of the guy who puts the cookies on the bottom shelf so that everybody can understand us. So I just find smart people, you know, generally scholars with PhDs, ask them all these questions, and then share it in a way that is easy to understand.
Does
that's
that
what journalists
Bible
do.
Bible scholars too?
Oh yeah, biblical
you're
scholars.
You're not afraid to ask Bible scholars and preachers and Bible teachers these kind of questions?
Sometimes they're the most ornery because they'll go back and forth. Oh, I think on this hand, or what about this hand? But yeah, I interview atheists, skeptics, Christians, scientists, philosophers, theologians. And I try to ask the kind of questions I have as a skeptic. So I tend to be a skeptic. My background's in journalism and law. Can you imagine put those two things together? What kind of a jerk that you're skeptic that you get? And so,
all right, let's get the question.
Yeah.
The pets. Now, but we have three little dachshunds.
Yeah. Oh, those
and
are cute.
Two of them are in heaven, and we have another one. I hope I outlive my present dachshund. She's four, but pets in heaven.
I think so. We don't know for sure biblically. It's an open question biblically. The Bible doesn't specify. We do know there will be animals in heaven because Isaiah and Revelation both mention animals. So there will be animals in heaven. And because they were part of the creation before the fall. So they were part of God's perfect creation and so forth. And so I believe there will be animals. But is my dog Nikki. I had this giant dog when I was a kid. I mean, when I was in high school, he would put his paws on my shoulders and look me in the eyes. I mean, he was awesome. I love this dog. Am I going to be reunited with Nikki in heaven? You know, there's a split among theologians. Some say no. Now, biblically speaking, animals do have souls, but they're not made in the God's image. So we have a more complex soul. We have, you know, so we can be redeemed and so forth. So anyway, we will be in heaven. Those who follow Christ will be in heaven. Animals will be in heaven. Will Nikki be in heaven? The only thing you can really point to is God is loving and God is gracious and God is kind. And Johnny Erickson Tada said to me, wouldn't it be just like God to allow you to be reunited with a pet that you love? Now, that's not biblical. I can't point to a verse, But that certainly would be in character yes. of God. Mm-hmm. And so people like Johnny Erickson Tada and many others do believe there will be pets in heaven. Other theologians say, because I can't specify a verse, I can't cite chapter and verse, I'm not going to say or I don't believe. But I think there's a good chance.
You know, one of the things God has shown me is one of my main focal points in my life's journey and my ministry now is to help bring the family together in the supernatural unity Jesus yes. prayed for.
Yes.
And you got to believe it's possible and important if he prayed for it and near the end of his life. And literally that's what happened in the upper room. And yeah. when they came out in that supernatural power, they then made the kingdom impact that kingdom-minded people right. can make on planet Earth.
Yes.
And they affected everywhere,
yes.
every part of the planet,
yes.
academics, entertainment, the arts, everything,
yeah.
politics, all leadership,
right.
all of it. They did it. The church has no business as kingdom representatives of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to be ambassadors and more than conquerors in his name and for his glory to check out of any place of responsibility on this planet.
Yes.
So we've got to literally keep focused on that.
Yes.
There are too many people, I think, that are trying to find a way to escape it. And one yeah. of the things the enemy is getting us to escape is the assignment of kingdom impact power by keeping us divided against each other.
Yes.
I don't know that there's any practice in the life of the Christian more important than supernatural unity, so mm-hmm. the family really looks like the healthy body of Christ, rightly connected together and submitted to the head.
Yes.
See, you've already shared, even in the first little topic we just touched there, all these different ideas, but you spoke with respect toward them.
Yeah.
You didn't make any one of them the item of the idol, the best example.
Yeah.
You just said what they share, and you said it with respect.
Mm.
So you didn't make an idol out of your point of view.
Yeah.
Don't you think we'd get healthier if we could lay that aside? Is what I'm saying make any sense?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we have a source of truth. It's called the Bible. Mm-hmm. And if we can't rally around that, if we can't implement that, if we can't make that the focus of our life, if we can't study it and make it, you know, the pattern by which we live day by day, then we're only left to opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got your opinion, and I've got my opinion, and guess what? We're going to clash on a bunch of different things. We have a source of truth. Let's go to that. Now, where the Bible doesn't speak, then it's important that we look at biblical principles and how do those principles play out to see if we can try to come to a conclusion. But, you know, the Great Commission was given to all of us.
All of us.
It is a responsibility of every Christian. That's not the pastor's job only. It is for all of us. And when culture sees healthy families living in a God-honoring way, it is salt and it is light. Jesus said, I want you to live like salt, which means to make people thirst for God. I want you to live like light that shines my message of hope and grace and love and redemption and eternal life that shines that into dark areas of despair. When we do that, it points people toward God. It makes people's eyes drift heavenward toward the Heavenly Father who motivates us against the grain of this me-first world to put other people first.
And when we do that in supernatural unity and look like the healthy body
yes.
of Christ, it is magnetically attractive. It's the city that can't
Absolutely.
Be hidden.
It's the city cannot on the hill that cannot be hidden.
And I exactly. long for that. I believe he longs for it.
Yes.
And we pray to that end, because when he talks to all these people, different views, I marvel at the way he comes away with respect and admiration, even where there's difference. He didn't slice them off or cut them up or put them down. It's a healthy example of how Christians can relate to one another, honor God by honoring one another.
Thank you.
Pray it happens. Will there be rewards in heaven?
You know, this is an interesting question. If heaven is a place of ultimate joy, then how can there be more joy for some people? I mean, ultimate is ultimate. If you're full of joy, mm-hmm. how is someone going to be rewarded with a joy that's even more joyful? There are passages which suggest that God will reward followers for the role that they played in the kingdom in this world, in spreading his word of love and grace and hope and so forth. But what does that actually look like in heaven? I have a theory about this. It's not something I came up with, but something that I think may have some relevance. And that is that if if you study music and you know a lot about music and you listen to Beethoven and you listen to all the great classical music and you appreciate it and you play an instrument and so forth, and me, I know nothing about music, frankly. I'm totally, I'm like you, okay. But when you would, if we both heard an orchestra, you would appreciate it
absolutely
at a higher level
absolutely
than I would. Yeah. I would love it. It's like, wow, that's awesome. But you would go, oh, yes.
Not me, not pointed out.
Okay, so, so I think that there may be a similar thing that happens in heaven, that those people who have lived a life of full devotion to God and have served Him and have pursued kingdom purposes in this life, that God might reward them in heaven with a sense of experiencing heaven that goes beyond what maybe somebody else might experience. We'll all experience it in great joy and wonder and adventure and satisfaction and fulfillment. But you might feel it on a deeper level than I would. But I would never know that. Mm-hmm. We both would say, isn't this awesome?
Yeah,
yeah,
well,
we both say it's awesome.
Couldn't it be a little bit like here on earth, our different gifts?
Yes, I think so.
I mean, I so know that the gifts gave James,
yeah,
he didn't give to me.
Yeah.
But he did give me gifts that,
yes,
were just as important.
Yeah.
And so he allows me to live by those gifts and work those gifts through me. But I can have a great appreciation,
yes,
for the difference.
Yes. It's important that people understand that salvation, heaven, is a gift of grace. We can't earn our way to heaven by doing good stuff in this world. And so people don't get to heaven by being better than others or, you know, and so forth. They get to heaven because they've received this free gift of salvation, this free gift of forgiveness and eternal life that Jesus purchased on the cross when he died as our substitute to pay for all of our sin. And he offers us a free gift. But then Christians live different kind of lives, and some are fully devoted and some make an impact for the kingdom. And I don't think in heaven there will be distinctions where I'm going to be held out is I'm going to have a bigger room because I did this, because you would be depressed for all of eternity saying, I wish I'd been a more devoted follower of Jesus. I wish I had his room. You know, so I think it might be that kind of internal reward that I may experience things differently than somebody else. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain it as perfectly as,
yeah,
one's mind might seek. You know, we asked the question about Betty and I. We'll someday, not too far in the distant future, less than 2 years, we will have been married 60 years. Mm. I like this girl.
Yeah.
I'm blessed that she loves me. It's hard for people to believe it. You know, I'm 78. People, yeah, believe that, but they don't believe.
I'm 77.
Yeah. At the moment.
At the moment.
Yeah. But the point is, she's just radiant, and it's beautiful. Will we be married in heaven? I know. I just know I'm going to know we're in heaven.
You know.
Please don't tell me that I'm not.
This is a great question, and there's a controversy about this because there's a passage where Jesus talks about this. And the way he talks about it is that he says, and I'm doing this from memory, but he says basically people will neither be married, or be given in marriage in heaven.
Right.
There will be neither marriage. So
it's like the marriage expression is not happening there.
Yes.
Or the experience and that commitment is not happening.
Exactly. So some people say, oh, he's saying there's no marriage in heaven, that no marriage relationship in heaven.
I believe there are families in heaven.
I do too.
Who went as a family.
And I think
you want to see your family
members. Exactly. When you look carefully at what he says people will neither this is what he said. People will neither marry nor be given in marriage in,
right,
heaven. Well, that means there'll be no weddings in heaven.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. But I believe that marriage relationships will continue in some way in heaven.
We'll be having babies in heaven. But there'll be children in heaven.
I think there will be children in heaven. I do not believe we'll be having new children in heaven.
No, I don't either.
But I believe children will go to heaven. I believe. Now, some people
we know
disagree.
We're going to know each other.
Yes. Some people disagree and say, you know, the Bible talks about uses a metaphor of marriage to talk about a relationship with God. And that in heaven, yes, we'll all be married, but in a sense, metaphorically, we'll be married to God, married to Jesus. And people teach that. And, you know, okay. But I think when you look carefully at the words of Jesus, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. That means people aren't going to get married in heaven. That doesn't mean that you, after 60 years plus of a marriage relationship, that that's not going to endure in heaven. We're in our 50th year of marriage. Mm-hmm. And you know, I love Jesus. I love Leslie dearly. And I want to have a special relationship with her
I'm
for eternity.
I'm confident I am going to have.
I do, too.
I believe I'll know we'll see our daughter again.
Absolutely.
And I will know it's her.
Yep.
David talked about seeing his son.
That's right.
Bring him back. Going to go be with him.
Absolutely.
Who was he talking about?
That's
so he's
right.
Going to be with him.
No, I'm with you.
You know, I wish everybody who's in the Bible discussion business would be as nice and friendly as we are. See, we're not starting another denomination, another point of view. Neither one of us have enough confidence in either one, me and him, or him and me, or he and ourselves, that we think we've got it all figured out. Why don't we all step down to a little level of humility and say we're learners? And really, this guy that is studying all this stuff and talking to all these people, he didn't just get out and write and say, let me tell you what I think, because I'm going to get it settled. We'll get this thing settled. That's not what he does. He goes and he seeks. And he finds, and he searches, and he discovers treasure, and he shares it. That's what this book is about. And I'm telling you, there are 10 very specific questions that you will say, would you please just give me your point of view? Obviously, more than anything, Lee is wanting to give you God's point of view, or his perspective, or his wisdom, which he says he'll share with us. That's what he wants to do. And you have discernment. God said through John in the second chapter of 1 John, you don't even need anyone to teach you because you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean teachers aren't important, gifted, and gifts to build us up. It just means that you've got a teacher living inside of you. Mm. Jesus is in you, and he'll guide you to all truth. This book was written in a search for truth to share what he discovers and he hears and what people feel and believe. And likely, what has actually blessed them by believing it and experiencing it. You help us really well. You make a gift toward that, and you want Lee's book. We're going to send it to you. Lee, you know, you made a very interesting statement yesterday after we showed our viewers the joy of giving a child a drink of water, fresh, clean, non-contaminated water, of giving a mother water for her children when she, the one yesterday, had lost five children and had two. And the moment we got ready to close the show, you said your wife and you want to drill a well.
Yes.
What made you say that?
You know, I love the way you said to give a cup of water. This is what the Bible talks about, to give a cup of water to those who are thirsty, that we're not just called in this world. We are called to share the gospel, but we're also called to help people and to serve people and to love people and to make a difference in their life. And, you know, when I heard the story of this woman who lost five children, my heart just went out and said, I can't imagine the pain and the despair that must come with that. My soul said, what can I do? What can I do to help avoid that in other people's lives? And then when you said, you can drill a well, count me in. Count me in. We're in.
You became an answer to the prayers of many. If you want to be blessed, be a blessing. Let the blessings of God flow through you, not to be blessed, but to bless. And that blessing others blesses us. I mean, it's just an amazing gift. And when you give life, you give the greatest gift there is. And when you give water for life, it opens the door for us to tell everyone it's because of the water of life that we want to give you water for your life and your family. And that's what you're doing. I want you to look in and listen to Sheila for a moment, and then watch as Betty and I share an experience and show you the magnificence of what your love does. Watch closely.
Water, Earth's most abundant natural resource. Yet out of this abundance, only a tiny fraction of it is suitable for drinking. And suitable is a loose definition.
This is the water, this is the only water that is available to this village. You can probably see it's absolutely filthy. There's animal waste all around, all gets into the same water. This is unspeakable agony to me. Because the thing that I've seen on this trip is these people are doing absolutely everything they can. They walk as many hours as they have to find some water, and it's not clean water. They cannot do anything else. I wouldn't let my dogs drink this water, and this is all these children have.
While the problem here is serious, the solution is surprisingly simple, and it's already been implemented in this Central American village.
Well, this is a time when I don't mind watching them stand here and pour water over their head because I know it's good water.
That's right. This is a place for which we give great praise to God and gratitude. But we need to drill hundreds of wells like this all over the world. And you can see, if you can't look at these children, look at their faces, look how happy they are, and understand the importance of clean water, it becomes the center of life. Schools spring up. We want children to get an education, and we want them to come and get healthy, clean drinking water.
I could not begin to explain adequately how miraculous that gift of love and life expressed by water. You give a drink of water in my name, you don't lose your reward. What reward? Well, let God determine all of that, what that looks like to Him. But what greater reward than you could experience than to give a child life? Give them a chance at life. Give them hope in life. That's what you're doing. That's what water does. And you think about this, Betty. We saw those children playing in fresh, clean water. Our viewers drill that well. You did it. Maybe one person watching us said, I can drill a well, $4,800 it costs. And you realize people can do that and do it joyfully? Do you know that our viewers have begun to think in supporting? They tend to think when we're doing stuff in $4,800 terms. It's amazing to me sometimes. We'll be talking about something totally unrelated to water, but these $4,800 gifts come in. And I asked the Lord, what's going on here? He said, they have learned the power of $4,800 changing everything in a community or a village. And so when they see something needs to be done and they're able to do it because I've given them the ability to do it and I've given really the wealth of America to people that are over 60. And 50% of all the wealth in America is controlled by people over 70. And I have shown them you can be overseers of what I entrusted to your watch care and do kingdom work with it for kingdom purpose and change everything for people. And you leap at it. Thank you. We're asking you right now if you can drill a well, drill one. We have targeted 20 nations, 350 specific areas where we know there is water, but we need to drill the well. And we need your help to do it. Could you do that? Could you give toward a well, maybe $2,400, and somebody join you? Pray, I'm making this gift, God. Give another person the ability to give the other $2,400. Could you give 12 and pray for 3 to join? And I believe if you can, you will. I really do believe that. Our viewers, amazingly, seem to seek the mind and heart and will of God. You're an amazing group of people. By the way, I want you to really join your hearts and start praying for the healing of our nation. For freedom as we've known it and experienced it to be spared a horrible death. Please, because if we come together, we can see people's lives changed and them set free. And it's sharing God's life and love that literally draws people to the life and love of God. Would you do what most people do who help us drill these wells? Let me give you an example. $48 gives 10 people water the rest of their life. Where could you better put $48 than to change everything for 10 people? At whatever level you can help, please do. We've got some beautiful gifts to send you. I have a beautiful throw about the rest that God gives us. We've got Bible promises for life, the life that He offers. You're going to love this. This is one beautifully laid out book on the promises of God. We just want to say thanks, and also Lee Strobel's book on heaven. You help us drill a well, you make a gift toward that, and you want Lee's book, we're going to send it to you. Right now, go online or dial the number, get your bank card, use it like a check. Please do it. If you write a check, make it to life. But we need to hear from you because we count on you to make it possible to give life in all these areas. Thank you for doing it. God bless you, and He is.
Waterborne illness is a killer that strikes the most vulnerable. For many impoverished families, the death of a child is the tragic result of having no choice but to drink contaminated water. But with your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, fresh drinking water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you Bible Promises for Life, the ultimate handbook to everything God guarantees you in His Word, and a powerful resource that will give you the confidence to face life's troubles. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the I Will Give You Rest throw. It's a reminder of our Savior's promise of rest to those who trust in His grace and love. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our new inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, as sincerely and as directly as I can, let me just say thank you. I just feel like you put God's arms around a lot of precious people. And you gave them hope. You gave them life. The Case for Heaven, you want it. You help us really well. You make a gift toward that, and you want Lee's book. We're going to send it to you. We're going to have Lee on again this week. We're going to talk about, really, we're going to refer to the first book that became quite a miraculous bestseller, The Case for Christ, when he set out to prove that Jesus is not real. And it captured him. It changed his life. And it became a movie. This is the movie edition of it. But we're going to talk about why he, as a skeptic, went on that journey. And we're going to talk about something people need to hear to change their life, to understand that Jesus is not just a story in the past. He's a very real living person today who can live his resurrected life in us. So we're going to be talking about that in the next program. Don't miss it. Lee, thank you for being with us. Looking forward to talking about that search to prove Jesus is not real. And we'll talk about it. Don't miss it. Thanks for your help.
Think about those who witnessed Christ's miracles and then they walked away.
Held by the God of miracles tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.